So, season one is over. It's done. It's gone. It's dead.
We did it. Oh, congratulations.
Tragic. Congratulations. You saved the world. That was totally an option that could not have happened as well.
I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen.
The world would have been very different afterwards if you guys had failed. Anyways, yeah, season one is over. We asked people to send us questions, and they did, quite a few of them. So we are going to go through these questions and answer them to the best of our abilities, which should be pretty good because we're the people who have the answers. So
we did it.
You have faith in us. I like that.
Yeah, I have great faith in my players and myself a little bit.
I don't believe you, kind of.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who sent in questions. Again, especially Joshua, who literally played 20 questions with us.
And I'm sure he pared those down, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Some of those got answered in the actual final episode, the epilogue, I guess you could say, of season one. So I took some of those out that we actually answered already. So here we go. The first one on the list is specifically for Justin, and we touched on it a little bit in the final episode, but what's up with Wayne's wife? That's a lot of W's.
You're referring to Patricia Porthosentfernd.
Yes, yeah. with that last name that I think I said once.
I always want to say her last name is Peppercorn, and I don't know why.
Nope, definitely Porthosentfernd.
Too many T's.
So I actually wrote her as a potential character for next season, so I don't know how much of this you would consider lore, Aaron, but I wrote like a two-paragraph like backstory for her that's kind of like post the events of that. I can get into it, or I can keep it hidden. I don't care.
I guess more like, was she, like when we started, did you think she would be like somebody we would come up against eventually, like a villain, or like were y'all going to make up?
I have no idea. I think Wayne and her genuinely want to kill each other.
Ooh.
So is she
is the reason that Wayne is blind.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She burned his
eyes
out. Oh,
wait, I remember you saying something about that at some point. Yeah.
Yeah, so she was very much a villain, and they were married, and her villainy is, I guess, why they broke up. And Wayne will never love again, because she was quite a woman.
Yeah.
I imagine with that voice, who could resist?
So I think he bears that like pain in his heart, you know, but
I'm sorry. Yeah. I had the urge. It's like, it's probably going to happen throughout this episode. I'm just going to sprinkle in 69. Every once in a while. So.
Yeah. Giggity. Oh. Yeah. I think at one point I was trying to bring her into something, and I asked you for like a rundown of what was up with her and Wayne, and you sent me like a 2-page long thing of like, oh yeah, this is like the story of like what happened here. And I was like, oh shit, okay. But yeah, like the long and short of it basically is that Wayne was trying to be a good guy, and like she just like royally brutalized him basically. So not the best of terms, no. But yeah, we can I like the, like, I was trying to find ways to bring her in, and I did a little bit towards the beginning. And
in
like
the
I said
sewer.
In the yeah.
I think we just took a different path that didn't come back to her.
Wayne is fine with that, by the way.
Yeah. There was a couple of like detours that we made that kind of ended up dropping her off of the map. But
she's forever in the shadows. Just
yeah,
waiting.
And like she was supposed to pop in at the end of the show when you guys were if you guys had lost to Valentine the first time, she would have popped up, but that didn't end up happening. So one way or the other, whether you play her as a character, like I do want to bring her into season two. So we don't
Spoiler
necessarily have to like
alert.
Get Dill. I mean, she's a character. She's a known asset. But yeah, we don't have to get super in depth, but I think the question was like, why is like what the relationship between them was, which is fairly abject hatred, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, but you know, it's also that sense of like, I think Wayne really did think of her as his soulmate, probably why romance was never ever going to be one of Wayne's motivators for anyone else he met, because Patricia was still like his big regret, you know.
Was she like in your tribe or someone else?
No, she was someone else. Okay. I think Porthosentfernd is a
oh,
like
yeah,
a Dutch name or something.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the perfect soulmate for Wayne to have, yeah, though. So this kind of like really dark, just like the yin to yang kind of situation. So that seemed pretty appropriate.
We met rock climbing.
Yeah. She's got a really killer climbing skill.
That's why Wayne knows how to climb.
Yeah. She taught him everything she knew. Good fucking God.
Love it.
Okay. Cool. Next up. I think you and I talked about this one a little bit, Kim. Hmm. What is Crystal Rainbow's hero name? There's Sketchbook and Junkyard Jackie, and even Wayne had, you know, Totem, but Crystal Rainbow never really had a superhero name.
I think, like, I don't know. I mean, she was already known as that name. I don't think she would need one. I was like kind of tossing around like the Guardian of Friendship.
I'm about to say, or something like that. So, what is Crystal's real name?
That is my real name. That is
Crystal Rainbow?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is the name my mom gave me. So,
I think it's kind of endearing that Crystal Rainbow is just, that's her name. Like, yeah. Why would she want anything else? She's just Crystal Rainbow.
It's like, I'd been drinking a little bit, so I was thinking like, oh, maybe Crystal Rainbow is an acronym for something. And I was like, I'm not gonna go for that.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, we'll do a DM one. The question was, did you always plan for Jocelyn to be a goddess? I think I talked to you guys about this off mic at one point, but like, I didn't really have a plan for anyone when everyone first started out. It was just like, hey, this is fucking superheroes or whatever. Like, I don't know. We're just going to make this shit up. And that went for a while. When I actually sat down to do everyone's leveling trees, I realized that Jocelyn's powers were like really absurd compared to everybody else's as far as like where they come from and how they work and everything. And it was like, where is this all coming from? And so that was like the original idea behind her coming from the darkness. And then when I started piecing together like the end of the series, which was shortly after that, I realized that like, oh, well, yeah, it would make sense for her to be like a demigod sent to Earth, kind of like an evil Superman. Like, she was originally sent to lay waste to it and like prepare it for Valentine. But then she was just like, nope, I'm a good guy. So it was fairly early on, but not from the very beginning now. Yeah, I think that was a surprise to Kia as much as anyone.
All of us. Hell yeah. I was like, oh man, you were throwing some loops to me. Okie dokie. Like,
you have a lot of faith in me. All right.
I kept a lot of that stuff close to the chest for a very, very long time.
But like for a while, honestly, on that touch point, there was a good chunk of time that I was sitting there thinking, I was like, when is Aaron going to reach out to me solo to have a conversation about how I'm the fucking villain of this campaign? Like, legit. I was like, I wonder if he's not telling me because he doesn't think I'll be able to pull this off well enough.
Nah, I wouldn't put that on someone. If you had come to me and said like, hey, like, am I kind of going towards this? I'd have been like, I don't know. Do you want to be a villain? Like, that was certainly an option, but I never really, like, I never wanted to push you towards that direction, so.
It would have been an interesting story for Jocelyn, to be sure.
Yeah, start from, like, this innocent, naive little, like, good girl to, like, I'm a fucking villain. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
She could have easily turned that way.
Yeah, this is actually a perfect lead into the next question. Did your characters turn out how you thought they would?
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of head shaking going on for the audience.
To be honest, to create a character and then imagining like they're gonna be gods by the end of this seems very conceited,
right?
Yeah.
So no, definitely not.
I don't think past the level I'm at. Like, I don't think about the end game at all. Like, we're just like right here. Point. So I never even considered like how it would end.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's to be fair, it's also not like it's D&D where when you get to see exactly what you could potentially do. True. At level 20, you know, so.
Yeah, there's a lot more like structured kind of destinies for those kind of characters, yeah.
I thought I was going to be talking to a lot more animals, and like, I thought that was going to be a way bigger part of my character, and I mean, I had some great animal friendships, but they never really influenced. Well, I guess I kind of did, because fucking Steven ended up being there at the end of everything, you know?
Yeah. I think we spent so much time off of Prima that it made that a lot more difficult, too.
Yeah.
So, what about Jackie?
I didn't plan on her having magic, obviously. That was a surprise.
And I didn't plan on her, like, staying with the Coalition or any of that organization and just staying with the Junkyard. And that didn't happen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it was a little different, but it worked out. I'm not mad about it or anything, you know?
We chiseled away at that frozen heart.
I really do think that, like, Junkyard Jackie probably had the most, like, growing up that happened in the season itself. You know, I feel like everyone, like, changed a lot, but I feel like Jackie actually, like, became, like, a, you know, major part of stuff and became, like, a really responsible person and was like, okay, you know what? I guess I can accept some of these things. And, like, I guess I can be friends with these fucking idiots. And, like, I guess, like...
She never thought they were idiots.
This is all okay.
Oh, that's not true.
I don't believe you.
I remember there was a point, too, where when John was listening to the early episodes, my brother John, who played Dude Bro, he commented to me at one point, he was like, Jackie is just, like, so angry. Like, I don't understand what's happening. It was pretty early on in the show, and we had recorded so far ahead, and I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, there's this whole thing going on, because even by the 4 or 5 episodes ahead we had gotten, it was like Jackie had changed so much over that time period, even where she constantly was like making some kind of change, like left and right. Like, maybe she never got exposed as like, oh, you're actually a demigod, but like she had a lot of her own like crazy growth that she went through.
For sure.
Like the most, I like to think like the most human growth mm-hmm. in general. So that was a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
I asked this one in the epilogue, but what's in the Junkyard Juice, which we established is trademarked and a trade secret, and no one can know it or they'll die.
Yes.
But there might be meat inside.
I was like, it's
there
meat.
May or may not be, maybe not meat, but some kind
there's
of
some
animal
sort
product.
Of animal product, yeah.
Yeah, some kind of, there is
it's
a vegan
option. It's
just
blended up like McDonald's hamburgers. It's so gross.
You know, when I have a really bad hangover, like fast food is absolutely what I need the next morning. So that may be it. She's just like, it's oh, just shut up. Here's a Big Mac in liquid form.
It's whatever Taco Bell passes off as meat.
I mean, you can technically use every part of an animal. So
Junkyard Juice proves it.
It's got some like horse hoof in it.
I'm done.
Oh, that needs to be like your like Junkyard Juice. You can use every part of an animal.
Oh, the little mascot is a Pegasus. Oh no.
You are not using the Pegasus anymore. I'm taking it back.
Your permission has been rescinded.
We're just going to put a star on that bitch. My Pegasus isn't going to be on it.
If you come to visit, you cannot leave the house. Stephen will follow you everywhere. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
But yes, no, it's a trade secret. It's a trade secret. Sorry.
Yes, trade secret. This one, I guess, is also maybe a little more pointed at Justin, but I guess everyone can weigh in on it. How well do you think Stephen the Rat
weighing in on
Australia?
It?
Wayne? Yeah, weighing in on it.
Sorry, saw an opportunity, ran for it.
Yeah, you ran real fast.
What was the question?
How well do you think Stephen the Rat is ruling Ratstralia?
Hopefully with a lot of help from friends. Yeah, because, I mean, he was a good guy, but he was a little cocky bastard, so...
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I imagine he pissed off a good chunk of people, and they left, and now there's New Cheeseland instead of New Zealand. Like, I mean... like...
Yeah,
without friends, like he probably spends more of his time going on adventures than he does, like, actually doing day-to-day governance.
Yeah.
That's Bobby's job.
Yeah.
He's just got a cell phone for like really, really important questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the next question we actually answered too, it was whether or not Crystal officially adopted Adam, which she did. So. Mm-hmm. And they loved each other so much. Let's do a DM question.
But you know, I was really going back to that. I was really kind of wondering about like what the legal ramifications of her just taking Adam from the Sword Savior and everything, or the Sword Lord or whatever his name was. And I was like, how is that going to fall out in court? Because he could be like, she just fucking took my son. But then you had him die at the end. So I was like, oh, well, that takes care of all of that. So.
Well, he didn't die. The grandpa died.
The grandpa died. The sword god died.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and he also, Sword Savior also disowned him. So he basically kicked him out.
Look at that, Randy's over here like, Aaron made it really easy for Crystal, so that's good.
No, at least we worked together at the dojo, so I feel like we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone ended up okay, like, with that whole situation in general. It was like, hey, look, you were kind of a shithead, and you kicked me out, and now I have awesome parents, and we can be friends or whatever, but, like, you're still not my dad.
I'm not fighting for child support, so we don't have
to support. Yeah. Yeah, good, because he can't pay it. That was your stipulation for helping with the dojo. It's like, you can't charge them anything. Okay, so the question here. So with how much you struggled with the Silver Age Sentinel system, which is a mouthful, will you switch to something else? And there's a very quick answer to that, which is, yes, God, yes. he threw out some, you know, examples like D&D or Call of Cthulhu or various other bits and bobs. But we are not using anything that's already written by other people. I just took the things that we really liked about Silver Age Sentinels, which is basically, you know, the fact that you're rolling low on things.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think it was just the fact that, like, it's not just you roll a d20 and then you roll one other dice or whatever, which is great and all for D&D, but it's also, like, it's played out as far as, like, a system. So basically just built a whole new one from scratch with kind of the basic idea of, like, rolling two dice instead of one and trying to roll low for things and that kind of thing. But it's a whole new system, naming it Infinite Ultra after this year's show. Go figure. I just finished putting it together and sent it to these jackasses who didn't read it. So
I sent it like yesterday.
No, yeah. It's okay. To be fair,
I glanced at it, Aaron. All that hard work you did, I kind of
it was yesterday.
So. I didn't even open up the chat. I just saw your message in my preview window. I went, not today, nah. Aaron, not this weekend. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But with the change of systems and stuff, and like since we built our own, I do plan on making it actually usable for people and getting it out there for people to actually play with if they want to. So
Aaron just wants people to be good at math, so he's keeping it hard. 69.
Yeah, it's weird how all the dice rolls just come at 69. I don't know how
I
that
was going to ask, like, can you give me a preview? Like, am I going to have to continue to do, like, insane amounts of math during these episodes?
No. It's still subtraction because you have to, like, you know, see how far off you are from the target number or whatever, but that's easy. It. Yeah, that's it. It's not, like, anything crazy. It's the most basic math outside of literally just counting on
listeners,
your fingers. So
be prepared for me to say, 7, 4, 13,
that gets
17,
cut out. They don't see
6?
That.
Yeah. I mean... Oh no, that was left in that fucking episode.
Yeah, sometimes it's fun to listen.
Of me saying 7? Wait, 14. Wait, 8? No, 9.
It
nine.
Depends on how you
numbers.
End counting it is when I can cut it or not. Because I'm like, well, if that doesn't make sense, okay. Then I'm like, well, I kind of need to keep that in.
You know what? I give a human aspect to the fact that some people are bad at math, okay?
Yeah, she's a goddess, not a calculator. Come on.
There's probably 3 people who listen to this show who can do any kind of math in their head. So it's not exactly a common skill these days. We all have calculators in our pocket, so.
That's my thing. Yeah, I'm like, y'all are all staring at me. I'm on a time crunch. I'm being recorded. Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're judging me because I didn't automatically know. Fuck.
Okay, so here's a question for y'all that I accidentally skipped over. So, Wayne had climbing, Jackie had tunneling. Did anyone else have uselessly useful skills?
Yes. Hold on,
let me dig out my character sheet.
I had sleight of hand, and I wanted to use it the entire show. And somehow I got to use climbing, but I didn't get to use fucking sleight of hand. Like, oh my god.
Wow. Okay.
Oh yeah, I had the performing arts skill.
Oh, right. I forgot.
I tried
about
to
that.
Use it once, but I didn't get to do it.
So I think I had some stuff that I got later on that I never really used, like my focus cognition. I don't think I ever. I think I may have used that once, but I think for me it's the fact of I had. So I did have. I do have a combat technique steady. I have 2 fucking levels in that.
to like hold your hand steady when you're drawing or something?
Yeah, so she could draw. Yeah. I remember having that exact conversation. You were like, I'm going to get steady. So like, even if it's like crazy, I can still draw well. And it's like, okay.
And I never added it to anything. So.
No,
you mean all the times we were on trains, you never. And,
guys, combat steady in my drawing still sucked. So.
There you go. Well, Crystal Rainbow also had anxiety in the first few episodes, like with combat. She was scared of combat. And then, like, I think by episode like six, it was just like non-existent. We totally, completely dropped it off the face of the earth.
I used it when I actually felt like really scared. I guess I just never really talked about it.
Yeah, the only other thing that I kind of had, like I have like the etiquette and stuff like that, but I did have, so like my reality marble, I only ever showed like one aspect of the reality marble, but there's like three different things I could have technically chosen to do. And I think I only ever did one. So,
yeah, I think you just did the poison or no, the weakened one. I think,
I think I did poison where enemies take 10 damage each turn. I did the strength sap, but I never did the immobilization.
Yeah, that one doesn't work super great with the way the system's laid out. So,
well, no, because I could still attack, and you were like bringing everybody I could have done it with was like a ranged attacker, and I was like, well, this is fucking pointless. Oh,
yeah. Why do I even bother? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. This one got asked by basically everyone, but I like the way that I like the way that John worded it, which is who is your favorite NPC and why is it green hair?
No, it's William. It's William, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think William is mine too. I mean, green hair is a real close second.
Mine with green hair was just his voice.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just funny. But no, William.
Mine is Skrillex.
Skrillex?
Skrillex.
God, I hope that someday someone like tweets at Sonny Moore and is like, hey, you know they talk about you all the fucking time in this stupid RPG show. Because
like, I want to say for me, it's like, do we count Dude Bro as an NPC?
No, I think he was a player character. So, what's really funny is both of those characters were not really ever intended to be anything of note.
Green we hair, put you on the spot with William. Just
yeah, you really did. You really did. I think green hair was just a dude hanging out in the foyer watering plants, and he was just the guy who like powered the portals and stuff for like the training center. And then you guys just like, kept talking to him
and we had to bring him back. Yeah, the first
time
I
think the first time you guys talked to him, I had had probably a couple too many beers, and I was just like, "Fuck it, let's go." And I just did the most ridiculous possible thing I could think of, and then suddenly that made him a character. And William too, is just like, you guys just loved William so much that you just like dragged him into existence.
He was the best. Yeah, like, it has to be William.
From knock on his door for a package of meat $100 later.
Yeah.
And then a water hose. Like, we just needed
a and then
water
I come
hose.
Back and I'm like, I need a bath.
Yeah. And he like lent you his shirt and all that. Yeah.
We wouldn't be who we are if it wasn't for William.
Yeah. William's funny. Like, William's one of my favorite. I even named the plant that Justin gave me William because he's such a solid plant. The fact that I named a plant is probably kind of sad. But yeah. So on the same vein, who was your least favorite NPC? And I'm sure I know the answer to that one.
Does it start with B and end with Obby?
I'm sure that's the answer.
So, like, I have mixed feelings because it's a pretty even tie between that person and somebody with the initials of FM.
So, Bobby and his creation. Yeah, I guess you could roll it into one.
It's hard to choose.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby's voice is annoying, but I like Bobby.
Yeah.
Fistmaster, I hate it. Like, I dreaded those episodes because I was like, when are the ass jokes gonna end?
Oh man, I was having so much fun with that one.
No, I know you were.
I fucking loved Fistmaster. He was in my top three. My favorite drawing I did of any character from this was Fistmaster. Like,
it was a good drawing.
I loved him.
I don't really have a least favorite. He had such a tragic end.
I like how, besides Fistmaster there at the end, because he did turn evil, I
I think it's hilarious that our least favorite NPC was technically good people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, yeah. I was going to say the figure. Great shooter because he killed a unicorn. Fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah. But, he was kind of a jackass.
Bobby.
I mean, before Bobby, I hated Adam with a passion.
You did, man. Too. Oh, my God.
I did too, actually.
All of y'all did, yeah.
Well, I think the first episode at the beginning, I was like, he's got like a six pack. That's kind of creepy. And then I was watching.
He was really creepy.
Jackie and I both were like, okay, he's pretty awesome. Like, look at this little kid go.
That leads really well into the DM question that was next, which is, was Adam supposed to be so involved in the story? I think we've talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it much on mic, but we have talked about it before, that he was always intended to be around. He was never really supposed to like hang out with you guys, though. Like, that was not really the intended use of Adam. He was just supposed to be some like crazy kid who was from some like real fucked up like martial arts family, and he was just like wicked strong and kind of annoying, but he would just pop in from time to time. And his family was supposed to be evil. They were supposed to be aiding Valentine with like getting to Prima, but when you guys started like being friends with Adam for whatever reason, I was like, fuck, man, I can't make this kid's dad like fucking like shaft the world.
That would have been a perfect thing. That would have been like kismet for how it was going.
Yeah. There was something just like, I didn't really want to put Adam in that kind of like really horrendous moral quandary because he's just like a fucking 12-year-old. I felt bad for Adam for even having the idea of like possibly having to like murder his own father, which I then made Jocelyn do. So
she's an adult. It's okay.
Yeah, she's an adult. She's fine. She's over 18. But yeah, no, he was never like, he was supposed to be involved with the story, but he was supposed to be like a tertiary character, just like popping in every once in a while, making like that kind of that betrayal more interesting. But then he became like an actual buddy.
Sorry, you made his dad super like misogynistic. And yeah, his dad is step up. Sorry.
Yeah, his dad was still a giant grade A douche, which I kept that from the evil background. So that worked out. I got to keep that part. But yeah, no, he ended up being probably like the best thing that came out of the show. So what a fucking monster. Okay.
Going back to the NPC one, I have to throw in Bagel as one of my favorites. Oh, William and Bagel. I can't forget about him. Sorry.
Yeah. Bagel is great. I wish I'd used Bagel a little bit more. It was really hard to just like shoehorn him into things, though. It was just the sparks, I think, did it enough. Just like, ka-cha!
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Yeah. Okay. So for you guys, what was the hardest battle?
Every battle.
Any of them were
the doors? The fucking doors?
Yeah, those fucking doors in Bread World. I hated those fucking doors.
I swear. The doors haunt me still.
I remember when we were doing the doors, we literally had to take a like an actual break and like talk through what was going on to like get things going. Oh man, that one was
brutal. You always
come
in lighthearted. Let's have some drinks. We're just gonna have some fun. And then it's like, oh shit, my soul, my heart, it's broken. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you gotta mix it up every once in a while. You can't all be unicorns licking their buttholes.
Why? All right, I'm writing that one down.
There's one down the list that's specifically for you. What was the rough number of dad jokes that we ended up with?
Oh, let's see.
Because Kim has actually taken very good notes of our dad jokes.
Well, she stopped for a while.
Yeah, she did.
I think she switched to a different page or something.
I have a couple of different sections. Okay, so we have 35 dad jokes.
Oh, God.
We have 3 uncle jokes.
Nice.
We have 1 mom joke.
I wish we would. What was a mom joke?
I don't remember.
I think it was like Kia making some weird dad joke, and we were like, no, that's a total mom joke.
And then sure. We have 19 dad jokes remote.
Oh, man. That is so many fucking. That's almost as many dad jokes as we have episodes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of what my favorite hardest battle.
Yeah, hardest how? Like just fighting wise?
Depends. Or? No, I mean it depends, right? Like it could have been an emotional thing. It could have been because I honest to God have my answer. Because I was like, this is a really corny answer, but it's honest to God truth. So it's almost a cop-out answer because it's not a fight that people would think of when you ask that question. I would have to say the day that Jocelyn accepted Shadow.
Mm. Like, oh, God.
The fight that happened with the group afterwards. Like,
yeah,
that is by far was one of the hardest episodes for me to record.
Yeah, I think it's hard for everybody.
Gun to kill you.
Yeah.
I know.
Which saved our life at the end, which I think is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it did.
I love it.
That was a really crazy episode, which is hysterical because that, like, that was not how I saw that episode playing out when we first started recording it. It just went so, like, it went down a spiral that just wouldn't end.
So. Yeah, it was tough. It was really, really tough. And maybe part of that is because, like, as a person who acts, like, I put a lot into my characters, and so I try to be in those shoes and I try to feel those emotions, which is why you hear me cry in the podcast occasionally. But like, that was tough. It was tough to see closest friends like turn against her so quick and not trust the decision that she had made. So
yeah, well, that actually fits perfectly with the question that's after that. This is getting kind of creepy how this works out. Is there a character choice you wish you would have changed?
Yes. It's not Shadow, but yes. Yeah.
What is it?
Part of me wishes I would have gone evil. Like, that would have been so funny.
That would have been, like, pretty cool.
A really cool, like, aspect.
It doesn't happen every day.
Honestly, I was waiting for your character to become evil after she, like, combined with Shadow.
No, see, that's the thing that would have been perfect, though. I would have still taken the deal with Shadow and worked it out with Aaron, where Shadow was the only thing really keeping Jocelyn in fucking check. Like, to not kill you guys.
Which is kind of the way it is now.
Yeah. So, okay, Randy, did you have a favorite hardest? What's your hardest battle?
It was those doors. Like, honestly, all jokes aside, it was like those fucking doors in Bread World. All the other fights were like, you know, just fighting, and, you know, they were good and I enjoyed them. But no, it was those doors. I hated them. I hated doors.
Real.
I hate doors.
Real stuff.
Whenever I go through them now, I'm just like, oh, a door. No, not. I don't. But yeah. No, I hated those doors.
I think mine was when Biscuits got kidnapped and the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
But that's also where we found the enchiladas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little good, little bad.
Silver lining.
And where we got that Gatling, where we got that gun for the top of Steven's car.
True. Yeah.
Okay, hard and fun. 69.
So, what was the other question? Like, the decision, a different decision?
Yeah.
Yeah, a character choice you wish it could have changed.
Sometimes I wish Wayne would have never taken that first shower. Just kind of kept a little more of his, like,
his mystique,
mystique and odors.
So he could blend in.
So weird.
I sometimes think what would have happened if Jackie had not taken the sword. I mean, because she got the magic and everything after that. Like, what if she hadn't done the sword?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aaron, would you have given it to someone else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone else would have eventually taken it. I always kind of assumed that Wayne, if Jackie didn't take it, then probably Wayne would have volunteered to take it. I fully expected Randy to actually turn that down. Because, like, we had actually talked before about, like, doing, like, a combination of magic and technology. And like, back when it was, like, really early on and she was, like, making the character and, like, we were starting to go through leveling and stuff. And she was like, no, I just want to be Inspector Gadget. And I was like, okay, cool.
Why do you hate magic so much, Randy? Like, why do you want any kind of magic?
It's not that I hate magic. It's just, like, in the D&D... in my other D&D campaigns and stuff, it's like I always played a magical character and I didn't want this to rely on spells. I wanted it to rely on, you know, actual other stuff that she makes and stuff. But not just like, I'm going to throw this spell out now.
I would say building out spells and shit in this universe and trying to make it cohesive is not easy.
No. Like,
no. Especially with a Silver Age system, which is just... There's not magic. It's just like, hey, you can just do stuff.
You can... And
period.
Don't
end of
roll
sentence.
Dice. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah,
I tried.
It's fine.
That was kind of like the Ultra powers were kind of the first foray into that sort of thing, and then like as you guys used those, you know, you got a better feel for what magic could possibly look like as far as like spells and powers and stuff. So like by the end of the show, when we started doing like the end level trees, I think we did an okay job of doing those kind of abilities where it's like, hey, this is like an actual like spell magic-y thing that I can do here, or you know, this is my special cool attack thing that's not some bullshit power that Silver Age Sentinels wrote a 7-page treatise on that didn't
that you have help. To add 7 numbers to yeah. and subtract it from 5 other numbers.
Yeah. So
I was always frustrated with the fact of I'm a notoriously shit roller. It's like that's just my life in mm-hmm. All kind of games, I guess. And I was always frustrated with something that I felt like was a good roll for me could totally be outdone by Aaron rolling great or something mm-hmm. like this. I was always just like, but damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, and also it's like with Jackie's character, it's like her whole thing was she did not have magic. She just built this stuff in the junkyard. Like that's yeah. what her whole thing was. She didn't have magic.
Yeah, so I really did expect you to just be like, fuck you, Aaron, no. and I gave you the option. I gave you the out specifically just in case you were just like, no, this doesn't fit. Like, no, I'm not going to. No, that's stupid.
I don't want to. But I also really wanted a sword, so.
Yeah, I was wondering, you took it for the sword.
When we were recording that episode, because I remember there being like this pause of who's taking it? Like, who's doing this? And I remember sitting there, because we were still recording at your apartment at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember sitting there, like, looking around at everybody. I'm like, who's gonna... it can't be me. Like, there's way too much already going on with me. Like, that would be weird if I took it. So, no.
Yeah.
Plus, me with a sword, I don't know if I'd be able to even pick that shit up, so...
You start drawing on the ground with it? Like, drawing in the yeah. sand? Yeah. So we got sent specific questions for people.
Oh.
Yeah, so we'll start with Kia. Can Jocelyn turn water into wine?
I'd say she'd get there, I guess.
Yeah, probably eventually.
Probably eventually. Because she's got like the metaphysical dynamic power. So I think eventually she'd probably just be able to pull, like make wine, maybe. Yeah. But.
And that's how the party started to get real wild.
Oh, yeah. That's when the Challenger cell suite became a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wing of cells just for you guys. So, Kim, this was an interesting one. What's your favorite IU VTuber? Like, who's like an imaginary VTuber that like Crystal would have been really into?
Oh, God. I don't know. Just any other little girl that likes shooting guns. Is that creepy?
Yeah.
I can see like Crystal being like a little mentor to her and like cheering yeah. her on and stuff.
It's like a little girl in like pigtails who shoots Gatling guns.
Yes.
I'm for it.
An advocate for gun safety, but also
Gatling guns
pushing
are cool.
it on children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
For Randy, what's Jackie's most versatile... No, what is the most versatile piece of junk, just in general?
Oh, I don't know. Most versatile piece of junk?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask the question.
Still.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah. I don't know.
That would be a tough one to answer.
Like a rock. Spring.
Spring? Steel?
I mean, I don't want to say just like a fucking like sheet of metal because you can pretty much make it into anything, but I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense.
That is the definition of versatile, by the way.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. You make it into anything.
Yeah.
Just a car, I mean, a chunk of metal.
Yeah.
A
car.
Yeah. A train car.
The wall of the train. Like, I don't, yeah. yeah, I guess just like a good sheet of metal because you can.
You guys did make a variety of weapons out of train cars. Because you guys made a spear out of a train car pole, and then you mm-hmm. made your shield out of a train car wall.
I did.
And I'm pretty sure you guys used a train car as a weapon at one point. So.
Trains.
Yeah, trains.
Oh, is the answer.
Yeah, broken trains. For Justin, if Wayne could hang up on anyone in history, who would it be?
A great question.
Oh God, I'd pick probably someone like Caesar or something, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Like just someone that's really important, thinks a lot of themselves, like someone you wouldn't hang up on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Alexander the Great.
A2 click.
A2 click. I love it. We'll do a couple DM questions. We've blown through some of these PC questions. This one's really fast. Why was Prima split into sectors, and did they each have a superhero coalition? No, they did not. Superhero coalition was for all of Prima, and it was split into sectors because if you all live in one giant city, it's hard to go to other cities. So I wanted Prima to have more than just like to all be one homogenous city, so I split
North
it into sectors. Yeah, I split it into sectors just to give it some more character, so that each sector was like different from the others. This one was interesting. I guess it was kind of confusing. If King Ultra's power only transferred to his brother when he died, how did Dakota know how to use the power? A, she didn't actually know how to use it. She doesn't have Ultra powers. She's just very powerful on her own, which was kind of the impetus for the character, was just like to be a actual super badass and just be like, yeah, you guys had ultra powers and you suck at it and you need to do better because you have a handicap and you still suck. So but she's just a coach, so she was just like teaching people how to be better, so she didn't really have anything to do with ultra powers. One question for all of you guys: what was your favorite Infinite Ultra moment that got cut? Which there's not a lot of those, but there were a couple.
Did the DuckTales family
heritage thing?
I think that's probably the answer for everybody, because it's certainly my fucking answer. So, yeah, I think we've brought it up on a couple of occasions, but there was probably a 3 or 4 or 5, I don't even know how fucking long, minute conversation about all of the different family members of the DuckTales, like, cinematic universe.
So, I like how it doesn't apply to the show at all, but that's, no, the best part.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, we have gone through serious tangents, and we've kept a lot of them in, but that one went for so long and was not related to anything in any way, shape, or form, so I ended up cutting it. It was,
well, who
really
knew that the DuckTale family tree spanned like the whole world? It's huge.
Yeah.
I can't even remember why we started talking about
it. I don't know. I learned so much about Uncle Scrooge that day.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, like there were no women ducks but Daisy.
Yeah.
Like, was she the mom of every duck?
Like we had Wikipedia involved. Like we got
the
fucking
Scottish
into
family
this.
Family tree section. Like, it's insane.
The duck verse is bigger than you think, listener.
Yes. Go look.
You should do a deep dive.
Yeah, go down that duck hole.
I will say, there was, I think it was the first, when we were, for me, it was when we were, and this is going to sound totally conceited, but meh. when we were encountering Shadow for one of the first times, it's where he attacked us in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And like it all went black. Like, I'll never forget, because Randy and I had been talking, because it was when she first started like pre-editing, and then you were doing like the wrap-up editing of the episodes and stuff, that she said that it was really funny to her because I had made this little noise that was like just put you in the spot of like, like this uncomfortable little noise, and I was so looking forward to listening to it because I didn't remember making it. So, and then I was listening to the episode and I was like, oh, that got cut. Oh.
Yeah. All right. You make a lot of very interesting noises. It's pretty great.
I snorted.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
The moment that Kia
cut,
wishes
that
was cut.
Left in. It wasn't there. To my ultimate displeasure.
It's my favorite. Kia.
I remember you sent a message to the group and you're like, why did you leave that in? It's so fucking funny.
Y'all made me laugh so hard that day.
Oh, that
I don't
was
remember
so good.
What that was going on that day, but ugh.
Yeah. I think you were sick or something, but
it was when we all started getting sick.
Yeah, I think we had like a cycle of sickness that was going around for like a couple months. It was like every time we'd get together, it was like, okay, I'm sick this time. Okay, now you're sick this time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so we have a good one here, which actually brings up the next couple episodes hopefully we'll be doing. Vacation I can't do it justice. Was such a memorable part of the show, and you also did a one shot playing other characters on a mission. Were those filler episodes, or were they always planned? Are there going to be more episodes styled like this in the next season? So I guess we'll take a piece. We'll take it piece by piece.
Tried to do an episode 2. It did not work.
Yeah, we were really tired, and I will say I have a whole concept for not even related to that one we tried. I have a whole concept for another Sector 13 Max Peculiar Vacation.
Yeah, which I think we talked about doing that as like the interim between season 1 and season 2, just to like get a little lead time. I think mostly for me to get everything ready to go, but which kind of leads into
for us to read your 2-page document.
It's 30 pages. It's small. It's only 30. It's
I
a
have
quick
to read
30
pages.
Well, it's mostly powers. There's just a lot of powers. It's in 12-point font, so it's pretty big.
Even Randy's like
space. Look, you guys don't have to sit there and read the whole thing.
I fucking love reading rule books. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. Anyways, back to the question.
yes. Sorry.
So I guess the answer to like whether or not these were fillers or if they were planned, I don't honestly remember how we ended up doing the first one. I think Justin just had an idea for an episode, and I was like, fuck yeah, well, like, we're gonna come to the end of this arc, and you know, we can take a break for a minute and you can run one. And we ended up making a whole day of it, and we ate enchiladas at your house while Kim
like,
went
we
to
do,
work
like, three? I went
God,
to work.
Your wife made amazing enchiladas.
Yeah,
they were the best part of that episode.
That was the day that I was sick and my voice was fucked up.
Yeah. And I got drunk at your house and ate enchiladas and then went and played Adam while tipsy and made Adam drunk. So that was a great
tipsy
day.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Sheesh. Yeah, so
tipsy is what screwed up the second one.
Yeah, it did.
To be fair, that was a long day, so.
Yeah. So the first one I think was kind of like a filler thing and more of just like a for fun thing. And I it's nice to take a break every once in a while, especially as far as like planning and everything. It's a lot to do. And then we did actually start to plan some of them. The mission where everyone got to play as like Ultra Squad characters, doing the whole like hunting down the homunculus body or whatever, that was like planned, but kind of as a last minute thing. I needed more time to figure out what the fuck was going on with Valentine's Tower, and I was like, hey, I have this idea for just like a quick thing that we can do to fill some time. So it's a little bit of both, I would say. They're fillers to like get a break, but also generally planned. So,
and I think with that one in particular, I think I speak for the players when most of us were like dreading it. We didn't want to do it, and then by the time we were done, like, we were like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm glad we did that.
I think he at the beginning was like, I just don't think this is gonna be good. just try it out, please. There will be more episodes like that. That was part of the conversation we had when we were going into season 2 about doing new characters but keeping it like still in the world with like our like the original cast still around, was to like every once in a while get to like have a break and like go see what they're doing and that kind of thing. So I think we'll be doing more of those, and we'll definitely be doing more Sector 13 episodes for sure. So new question: if you could be one NPC, who would it be?
If I could be one NPC?
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here trying to think who had the coolest power.
Yeah, like Rhonda. Wanda or Rhonda.
I was thinking maybe Wanda, but she went through a lot of shit too, so I don't
know.
Yeah,
she did. But now she's got a dope ass flying castle.
Biscuits?
Yeah. Yeah, biscuits probably.
Probably one of the rats. I'd love to live a day in the rat society, you know?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I think it'd be interesting to be one of the Oscars.
Yeah.
Get to I don't see think all the I'd ever want to
smart Oscar.
And just work in the tower and you see all this shit. I think it'd be really neat, honestly.
She could be the magic Oscar.
Oh, God.
The one that worked in the magic lab.
The receptionist that we always talk to.
Oh, yeah, Kathy.
Oh, yeah, the receptionist. Yeah,
who's actually named after a friend of mine, Kathy, who's an administrator of existence. Yeah.
So. We don't want to be superheroes. We just want like mundane jobs in superhero tower. Yeah, yeah. That's what we long for.
We just want to watch people be crazy. That's what
I was
trying to
think. I was like, I don't think I would choose a superhero. Like, part of me is curious. Like I would almost want to be in a William situation. Like living my normal life and then superheroes kind of interrupt and it's not great, but it's not bad either. So.
Yeah, it's a little bit of...
Yeah, you get all the excitement of superheroes, but not the responsibility.
Yeah, that's why I'm choosing the Oscars because they don't necessarily have... Not that I'm aware of that the Oscars didn't technically have superhero powers. They just worked in the tower in the lab.
Yeah. And one was dumb, and one was smart, and one was magic, and there was probably a couple others, and one was a psychologist.
This is a good introduction for Aaron's book that I got him, so they're not all Oscar next season.
Yeah, sweet. Kim and her infinite wisdom got me a baby name book with 10,000 names, so we should not be doubling names anymore. So, anyways.
We'll see.
Okay, so we'll do... DM question. What inspired you to do a superhero-themed actual play podcast? Which is quite the wordy genre, I guess, to be in. Superhero-themed actual play RPG podcast. It's really difficult to describe this show to people. It's like, yeah, it's like D&D, but with superheroes. And most people are like, what's D&D? And it's like, well, you ever played Pretend, but with dice? Kind
of. Yeah, I think I say tabletop RPG superheroes.
Yeah.
But nothing about it is tabletop. So.
Yeah. I usually just say it's a superhero RPG. And if I have to explain it past that, it's like, okay, well, let's start breaking this down. So. I don't know that there was a really necessarily an inspiration. John and I were doing a podcast that, as of now, is just like chilling on the back burner. And I was going to work in California for like a month and a half or something like that. And I was just bored and I wanted to do something. I wanted to do another show, but I didn't really know what I wanted it to be. And I wanted to play some kind of RPG game in general. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll do like an RPG podcast or whatever. And I don't even know where the superheroes came up. I just knew that D&D was way oversaturated. Like no one's ever going to go and find some, you know, just nobody little D&D show and be like, yeah, this is great. There's only 800,000 more of these.
There are a lot.
Yeah. I just remember one day just like searching the internet just to see if there was like superhero shows because, you know, Marvel was like just starting to get to the end of its like huge run. And I was like, oh, this might be an interesting idea to run with. And I realized there are no superhero RPG shows. There was like one that lasted like 3 episodes or something. And I was like, well, if no one else is doing it, that might be a good one to like, you know, corner the market on that. You know, it'd be kind of fun to be like, you know, we're pretty much the only people doing that. It's kind of a nice thing. So it was more just like, I guess I was bored.
That's how we do everything.
A lot of the greatest things start.
Yeah, I just got bored. And so then it gave me something to like work on for that whole month and a half that I was out in California working like 80 hour weeks. So it's just like, all right, I'm going to sit here and do all this manual labor, but I'm off in dreamland in my head trying to figure out how to do all this stuff and make this all work. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then it was originally only supposed to be the three girls too. To when it started, it was going to be this. I think it was what did we call it? Like super gals or something like that when we first started it. Like,
I'm glad that did not work.
I can't remember what we originally named it, but it was only going to be the three of you because I only have 4 slots in my input. And then Justin, I think Kim maybe told me, it's like, oh, Justin wants to like play the game. He said he's going to be done with school. Someone told me that.
I was like, I think Justin was the one that told me about it.
No, because yeah, I had invited Kia and Kim, and then we were looking for Silver Age Sentinel books, and I asked Greg and Justin, and then Justin was like, oh, I'm interested.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. Yeah. And it was just like...
Oh, so Justin just weaseled his way in.
Yeah, there. Basically.
I fucking love superheroes. Like, I mean, I think out of this whole group, apologies if I'm wrong, but I think I'm the biggest fucking comic book nerd here.
Oh, for sure. By miles and miles, yes. I have barely read any, which is hysterical that I run a fucking superhero RPG.
You do it very well.
I've been exposed enough, I guess. So, yeah, just kind of, like, tacked on at the very end. I ended up having to buy, like, an extra piece of hardware just to, like, put him in there, too. But that was that's a fun little, like, story. So, let's get some other player questions. What's your favorite sector? We didn't really go to all of them, but we went to enough of them, I think, that you guys got to see a little bit of difference between them. I mean, personally...
It's like the one where the enchilada place
is. God, which one was
it's
that?
Actually one of my least favorite.
Yeah, I was like, it might be better now.
It might be better now, but...
My favorite was Sector 2, because there was the stripper mummies.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was like the desert, but it's like, God, it's not the stripper mummies. Sector, it's just the episode that was there was so funny. Yeah. That's almost so kind of like the desert, but it's a boring play. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't well, do Sector the best job fleshing them out. Sector 2 is also
where Kim had to kill the great shooter, so, mm-hmm. like, it's definitely... has its history there.
Yeah, that's a big goal for me with, like, the next season is fleshing out places more. I think I did an okay job at it at the start. It could have been better, and then, like, as we went along and we were jumping between so many places, it kind of got lost to the wayside a little bit, but I think that that's a really important part of, you know, building, like, a place that feels like, you know, a world that you're actually playing in is getting... more familiar with the places, and the sectors kind of fell flat a little bit on that, so hopefully next time it'll be maybe next time we'll do a better job.
God, Aaron,
yeah, get good, man, get good.
I'm trying.
No, you're doing a great job.
Okay, we got the last DM question. What was your favorite NPC to play besides Adam and Greenhair? That one's from John, and he cheated because I told him that those two were my favorite when we were playing disc golf. So I think my favorite to play outside of Adam and Greenhair was probably Fistmaster, because he's fucking hysterical. I'm getting some pretty solid head shakes and disappointed looks, but I remember
considering he was my least favorite NPC.
I think when we actually sat down to record that one, I was so excited about it that I even told you guys before we started recording, like, guys, this is gonna be so awesome. Just wait.
You did.
You were pretty pumped up. You were so pumped up. So that checks out.
Yeah, I love Fistmaster. He's probably one of my favorite characters in the show because he's, like, so ridiculous and he's so stupid. And, like, goofball, but then he becomes, like, this really evil, terrible character, and you guys end up having to, like, put him down, and then you have to deal with, like, the fact that was Bobby's, like, you know, basically his child, and he just kind of, like, wanders off all wounded and hurt. Like, I loved that storyline. Like, I thought Fistmaster was pretty great. Even though he did...
That was tough.
He did somehow bring every sentence into fisting people's anal cavities.
He also kind of, like... divided the group for a little bit,
yeah.
I feel like. I feel like that was, like, one of the first, like, really hard things that our group had to deal with where we did not agree. Like, just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Speaking of disc golf, which character would win at disc golf?
Oh, shit.
Probably...
Wayne?
Well, I was going to say you, because you're ranged combat and shit.
Yeah, oh, I think it would totally be Crystal.
I was thinking of your metal arm.
She'd be doing, like, all kinds of crazy trick shots, like that hammer throw where it flips over, like, 3 times.
Jocelyn, eventually, because she'll cheat.
Yeah, she'll cheat, yeah. She'll just do the wind wall, the wind barrier.
The wind
just,
barrier.
Like, flat, oh, so shit, it just, like, yeah, skips across it. She just sets it down.
Dude, if I could have
goes.
Guide your wind when yeah. I played disc golf,
yeah,
that would help a lot.
Yeah, Crystal yeah. also cheats on that, that one. Like, she's got guide your wind. Literally just like, oh, I missed. No, I didn't.
Mother.
Cool. What, your brother-in-law had one. I didn't put it on the list. What was it? I don't think I fully understood what he was asking.
Oh, he just straight up wanted to know how I kept my vision.
Oh, yeah.
After I came back from Prima. And I want to know, after Valentine died, why didn't an arm pop out where my arm used to be?
Because a god didn't give it back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave him my eyes back. Like, I didn't get them back because he died.
So how you kept your vision is just because a goddess gave it back to you, essentially. She just healed you. And then as far as, yeah, your arm popping out. So we had this conversation, well, me and Kia as Jocelyn, I guess in some fashion or another. Yeah, I think she was talking to Shadow, maybe.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I was asking, like, how I could get Crystal's.
Yeah, it was right after, Crystal went blind, she was like, can I get that back? And the whole point of it was that if you guys defeated Valentine, then theoretically she could, you know, snatch what was his as he died. But it just never came up. So, you know, I didn't really feel like it was a super important point to hit, as far as like Jocelyn didn't necessarily need to save Crystal's eyes. There was other ways for her to get her sight back, but if she remembered and brought it up,
if you whine about it enough, the DM will help you out.
See, I feel like if Jocelyn would have turned around and immediately healed Crystal's eyesight, that I feel like that would have been a weird leap.
Yeah. But,
which is why I didn't do it, so...
I think that getting, like, a boon from Gaia is a lot more narratively satisfying than, like, I am a goddess and I'm your friend and I killed my dad and I took his power and I gave you your eyeballs back. Like, that just, I don't know, it doesn't really ring the same as, like, you saved the world, I'm gonna give you your eyes back, you know? So...
Yeah.
I think that worked out.
Good. And who knows, maybe there's just an arm flopping around.
Yeah, there's an arm on Proteus that is constantly like just skittering around because it also has regeneration, so it won't fucking die. That's the, like,
that's the next bad guy.
Yeah.
We have to fight Wayne's arm.
It's the subject of a nature documentary of this hand that just keeps like wandering the planet of Proteus and doing all kinds of hijinks and stealing people's cigarettes even though it can't smoke them. But awesome. I am fully out of questions. We went through a lot of questions.
Did we
answer Tyler's?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I put them in there. I compiled
hers was,
all of them.
What was your hardest battle?
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And the NPC one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think that probably the most intense battle that we had. I think there were. I don't mean to like completely jump back to this, but I didn't really weigh in from like my perspective. The hardest ones in my book, the top three are the fight with the Destroyer, which doesn't really count because you guys were supposed to lose and you did.
God, that was a tough fight. But we were like babies trying to figure this shit
out. Yeah, and it was a very frustrating episode. Idea. And like when I tell people to watch or listen to the show, I'm like, just skip episode two. It's fine. it's okay.
And like to see how like broken the system was. It's like, we don't know how to play this game at all.
That, I made that character to just like, I was like, I bet I could break the system literally with one power, and I could, and I did, and it was stupid. But so there was that one. Obviously, the fight with Valentine was really hard. The one that sticks out to my mind, though.
Which one?
Both.
Which one?
Both.
The one where we almost died and we had to run away.
Which one?
But the big one actually that sticks out to my mind is the cathedral fight when you guys fought Eterna's church. That one was really intense, and I think you guys played it really well, and it had like just the right amount of stakes and difficulty and like still a way to like weasel out of it that you guys always managed to find.
I don't even remember what I tried to do during that episode.
Like, stop making buildings that want to kill us, Aaron. Like, what the fuck?
Only one of them wanted to kill you. One of them just wanted to test you.
Trust no building. Yeah.
Trust no building, trust no doors. Live outside, never go in. That, I guess that's my 2 cents on that. But
it's a good one.
Well, I'm all plumb out of questions, so sweet. Thanks again to everyone for sending them in. Lots of fun talking and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, hopefully, if Justin is prepared for it, hopefully the next couple episodes will be some Sector 13 fun shenanigans.
You'd be lucky to get one, buddy.
The next episode or seven.
You're in contract for 7 to 8 max killer episodes.
However many Justin has in him, whether it's 1 or 8, 10, we'll do some Sector 13 stuff, and then we'll be hopping right into a character creation episode for season 2, and then we'll kick off. So we will see you guys on the flip side.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's where we're going to end it.
Later.
So it is
6-9. That's how we ended it. 6-9.
I was going to say, what was the hardest battle? It was hard for every battle. 69.
It's always hard. All
right. Is this the last time we're doing this?
For now, I guess.
Bye.
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 Hi!
Oh, no! Oh, no! No, I think that's for the next season. Like when we first start our first season as our characters, right?
No, I like it here. Hi! Hi!
Executive decision made.
Oh, sorry.
Cool. Well, I have a long list of questions. We'll just go through all of them, and we'll probably just, you know, if it gets long, we'll just cut whatever is boring. We have some for PCs and stuff, and then we also have some for me specifically, so I'll just kind of throw them in there every once in a while.
You're welcome.
I was not expecting that long list of questions.
No.
Very.
And
not
thanks
surprised.
To everyone who sent questions in, especially Joshua, who sent in literally 20 questions. No stone unturned. Okay, so I guess we'll just jump right into it. We kind of sort of answered this one, but we can kind of delve into it a little further if you want to, Justin. But
quick question. Did you want to do some kind of like intro as to what we're doing?
This is episode 69.
Nice.
Welcome.
Nice. To 69.
You
yeah,
know what's
sure.
up.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nice.
Welcome to 60 Nice.
For okay, your pleasure.
So, yeah.
Because I was like, this is a really corny answer, but it's honest to God truth. So when Justin gets back.
Wait. Damn it, Justin. Okay, let's all talk shit about Justin, and then we'll leave this in the episode. So
that guy's the worst.
Ugh. Yeah, he's really just terrible. He smells bad, too. You guys smell him? He smells terrible. He smells like old feet.
Old people.
I don't know what old feet implies, but
ew.
We got it.
Well,
it's a good thing we're recording remotely.
Yeah, I was like, this remote thing hasn't been so bad because I don't sit next to Justin anymore. Ugh.
That's why the only time we see him is at disc golf, so we have a good wind going through.
Yeah.
You know, like it just kind of blows it away.